Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, we're almost there. It's almost the century time, and I bet you'll be walking the plantation course and checking it out just to see how everything is being played, how the guys are doing. Of course, everybody's been watching the Hero Challenge, right? You can trying to see how Tiger Woods is doing. I'm not sure I should tell you. It's the third round. He had a 75 the first day, and he had a 70. That's all old news. But what I would tell you now, if I were so inclined to ruin your day, there are folks who actually record it and want to watch it and don't want to know. So I'm not going to say. But I've got a lot of interesting little things that Tiger Woods said about his second round 70, which was, you know, five strokes better. That's really nice. And it's just great to see him out. You know, everybody's guessing what could possibly be wrong with Tiger Woods. There's Alan Shipnuck calling in. That is so cool. All right. You know, everybody's wondering, what is wrong with Tiger Woods? What is wrong with Tiger Woods? You know, why is he not playing so fantastic as he normally does? What is wrong with Tiger Woods? What do you think is the problem with Tiger Woods? I'm like, gee, he hasn't been out in competition in goodness knows how long. And it doesn't matter who you are, when you get thrown into competition like this, and he had a great answer about that, you know, a great answer. It's like, you know, I got tired at the end. Hey, you know, he is a human being. And yeah, it's like that. But he's coming along. There's some things that are weird. His iron play is just a little, because that used to be, remember when he won in England, and it was an open, and I don't remember which year, obviously, and he just about used every iron in his bag. It was just spectacular watching him perform. He is by far the best golfer. No, okay, I know Jack Nicklaus is fantastic too, and there's Gary Player, Lee Trevino. There's so many names, but Tiger, yeah, Tiger is amazing. So we're going to start the show with Alan Shipnuck, executive editor, partner, content creator, the Fire Pit Collective, 25 years with Sports Illustrated, and author of 9 books, including Phil, and I love this one, Live and Let Die. All right, I'd like to let them die, live, but we'll find out about his book after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories, now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. The Sentry officially kicks off the PGA Tour's 2024 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, Maui, January 4th through the 7th. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. And Sony Open in Hawaii PGA Tour Golf Tournament, starting January 8th through 14th, 2024 at the Wailea Country Club on the island of Oahu.
And now, Alan Shipnuck, executive editor, partner, content creator, Fire Pit Collective, 25 years with Sports Illustrated, author of 9 books, including Phil and Live and Let Die. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a thrill. I love what you wrote. I am so excited that y'all can finally get a glimpse of what is in Live and Let Die. There is so much about this story that golf fans don't know. Reporting this book was the biggest challenge of my career, and I think it's the best work I've ever done. Thanks for reading. That's quite a statement after the great books you've written and all of the incredible work you've done in the game. It must have been hard doing this, talking to all the different people, just from what I've the little I've been able to read.
Well, yeah, it was an incredibly polarizing subject, and that was felt every level of the golf world. So, you know, I was one of the few reporters who was traveling on two passports, going back and forth between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. And, so trying to get the story from both sides, trying to tell it completely, accurately, fairly, it was a great challenge. It, compounded by the fact that everyone was suing everyone. you know, obviously the LIV golfers sued the tour for antitrust. The PGA Tour turned around and countersued LIV. Patrick Reed sued everybody on the golf beat, except for me, strangely. You know, Jack Nicklaus sued himself. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And so getting people to speak freely was, it was an exercise in building trust and just going back to folks over and over and over, and they could see that as I was learning more and I knew more, I was getting closer to the heart of the story. You know, they wanted to give their two cents as well, but it was a long, complicated process, no question.
Yeah, and then sitting down with your notes and trying to put that all together. Do you record or do you just write when you're taking notes?
Both. Kind of depends if you're a tournament, and I like to record. Sometimes people, when you call the recorder, get a little shy, so it's better just to have the notebook and take notes. And it's almost performative, where you're in the journalist role. I go both. I generally tape everything, but sometimes it doesn't allow. You're driving in the car, whatever the circumstances may be. But
yeah,
you just sort of have to adapt to the different scenarios.
You know, this exclusive that you can find, by the way, Alan Shipnuck, that's how it's Shipnuck on Twitter. And you can go and get some of the excerpts from his book. Okay, LIV, L-I-V, and Let Die. I kind of wish they would die, which I don't mean literally. I just mean I wish they'd fade away and go away and things would go back to normal. But on the one hand, and then on the other hand, I think, well, some of the stuff that they're doing, some of the team work, I don't like the team in addition to the competition. I don't consider it competition. It's just a strange format, and maybe I'm old. I think some of the fun factor could be brought into the PGA Tour. I like the fact that they're maybe doing some teamwork. I'm not sure if that's within the tour framework. But one of the things that you quote here in this exclusive, the first excerpt from Alan Shipnuck's anticipated new book, Live and Let Die, brings me to the Jay Monahan's moment of truth and the complex forces threatening the framework agreement. This is where everything started to fall apart, at least from us on the outside looking in. There was, you know, in June of 2023, Monahan, Jay, and Al Ramayan shocked the sports world by announcing the war was over and the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund and the European Tour would be collaborating to create an as yet unnamed entity to reunify the game. Now, obviously, that all fell apart. That wasn't really what was happening. And here's Jay Monahan saying, we are at war. At what point was he at war? Before everything fell apart? Or can you wrap that for me?
Yeah, I mean, that's a quote from a board meeting in the fall of 2021 from Monahan when the Saudis were just emerging as a threat. And, you know, that was his attitude, and that sort of set the tone for this whole era of professional golf. You know, it's all laid out in the book. You know, there's Yasir Al-Ramayan's number two guy, his name's Majid Al-Saror. He sent a letter to Monahan in the spring of 2021 saying, we want to collaborate, we want to invest in the tour, let's have a meeting and talk about it. And that was Monahan's response: we are at war. You know, he never took the meeting, he never sat down with these guys. And obviously a fundamental mistake, because now he's at the negotiating table with the very same people, but that's after, you know, 2.5 years of strife, and his position has been substantially weakened. So, you know, Monahan's an old college hockey player, and he brought that mentality to these negotiations when it probably required a little more finesse and a little more strategic thinking, and actually a lot more, and a big picture perspective. And so, yeah, this is a fundamental mistake. Now, he may salvage it by still cutting a deal and getting access to the Saudi money, but it will come at a very high price to the tour, having, you know, lost a bunch of his top players, and certainly came at a huge expense to Jay Monahan's reputation. So it is a fundamental moment in this whole story, you know, and that letter lands with a thud on Monahan's desk, and his extreme reaction to it. It set this whole chain of events that we're still dealing with.
Do you think he understood the deep pockets of the public investment fund?
I mean, how could you not? The first word is public. I mean, the scale of their operation, the amount of money they're sitting on, the investments they've made in throughout the entire global economic system. I mean, everyone knows how much money they have. So, and that's why he has a board of directors of all these supposedly really smart business people. They certainly know. And the tour has dozens and dozens of overpaid vice presidents. I mean, their job is to know these things. So that would not be an excuse that would hold any water, that he just didn't understand what he was dealing with. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I'm baffled by his position from the very beginning. And then he just sort of slapped everybody, including us who were trying to keep up with all of this, when, you know, it's all over, we've got this deal, and it turns out to be not a deal at all, and hadn't been in the tour players had not been advised as to where things were going. It's just schmarmy. It's ugly. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing who the next commissioner is going to be. But in your book, you also, you know, you tease us by saying there's a lot of stuff. We've talked about things that everybody's heard for the most part. You say there's a lot of things in your book that we just don't, golf fans just don't know about. Can you tease us a little bit about what those things may be?
Yeah, well, the whole history of how we got to this moment, I mean, it starts with the Premier Golf League in 2018, was when that first became public. And I think most people weren't really taking the Premier Golf League seriously. But they began this conversation about a breakaway league. They're the ones who brought the Saudis to the table as investors, which most people don't know. And how serious those offers became. I mean, I've got all the numbers and all the contracts that were offered to the players. And, you know, it's kind of an unknown part of this story. Then you get to what we were talking about earlier, you know, the letter that I reproduced in the book, that's the first time it's gone public, and understanding Monahan's decision making, you know, talking to people on the board, and, you know, that quote, "We are at war," is really fundamental to this whole story. You know, that's never been reported. And then, you know, who is Yasir Al-Rumayyan? Who is Majed Al-Sawar? These two guys who are making decisions for Gulf Saudi. Like, I talked to a lot of experts. I read a lot of books. You know, bring them to life. People can really kind of understand them as people and what their motivations are. You know, the role of Rory and Tiger behind the scenes, I think that's been somewhat misunderstood. So, I mean, you can go to every juncture in this story. I tried to bring, you know, new insight, new reporting, and take people into the room where it happened. You know, this whole thing happened in the shadows, right? There was every time there was a handshake deal, there was a negotiation, every time the money moved around, it was never a press release, it was never a press conference. It was all done in secret. And so bringing it all out into the daylight so golf fans and other, you know, stakeholders in the game can understand what really happened. You know, that was the mandate of this book, and, you know, that's what I really tried to do.
Yeah. You know, it's really important for us because this is just the beginning of changes in doing business. How long has the Public Investment Fund been involved in sports in the United States, other sports, let's say basketball or hockey?
Well, that's the thing, and that's why this deal is getting so much scrutiny in Congress, because this would be, you know, to quote Senator Murphy from Connecticut, this would be a watershed moment for American sports if you let a foreign monarchy come in and take control of the PGA Tour. And that's why there's been so much pushback, and that's why there's been so much energy around this, because, you know, money from the Middle East, not just from Saudi Arabia, but some of the other countries, has been flowing into professional soccer in Europe, in Formula One. You know, they've been hosting all the big boxing and horse racing and snooker. You've gone down the line. I mean, Saudi Arabia's gotten very embedded in professional sports, but this would be the first beachhead in the United States. Oh. And that's why there's been so much scrutiny, because if this deal goes through and they have a controlling interest in the tour, that's just the beginning. I mean, of course, the Saudis would love to buy the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Dodgers and, you know, the Chicago Bulls and you name it. Like, those are, I mean, they're, you're seeing it in a lot of sports worldwide. So, and there's nothing more prestigious than owning, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. Right?
Yes.
So, like, they're not going to stop with golf, and this becomes what happens with the tour, what happens with this framework agreement becomes a very important precedent.
Wow. Wow. You know, just wow. John Rahm is going to leave the PGA Tour and go to LIV. What do you think?
I think he's making a very important decision here. I mean, there's no doubt he's been a target of theirs for a long time. Got a big offer on the table. Rahm has always been dismissive. I think he, you know, he's a guy who thinks about his legacy a lot. And so, you know, Monahan and other tour loyalists kind of made it this loyalty test. And, you know, Rahm bought into that. But then once everything changed on June 6th and the tour decided to do business with public investment funds, I think the players had to reassess what that loyalty really meant. And, you know, Rahm, because of his victories and success in the majors, he's always going to be able to play the majors. And that's really where his legacy is. And is there that much difference, you know, between a PGA Tour event in Phoenix and a LIV event in Tucson? I mean, in his mind, maybe not. And if he's on a team that's got on LIV, that's all, you know, him and Sergio, and they probably pick off a couple other Spanish guys, like, becomes essentially a Spanish national team.
Yes.
That can be really appealing to him. You know, he's a guy who cares about supporting golf in his home country, and maybe he sees that as a way to stimulate fan interest, because, you know, if you look at sports in general, fans will always root for a team from their home country that, you know, represents them. So if you have essentially an all Spanish team on LIV, I mean, I think you might be able to get fans to tune in a way that they don't for the week to week on the PGA Tour. So, yep. You know, maybe Rahm is thinking about that. And,
yep.
You know, everybody has a price. Like, you're talking about generational wealth here. Not that he was hurting already, but if the number that's been floating around is $600 million, I don't know if that's true. No one on LIV has confirmed that, but it's certainly into nine figures. And that's a heck of a lot of money. So it's going to be a big deal if he goes, because the tour has been able to sort of somewhat survive the LIV threat by holding on to McIlroy, obviously Tiger, Jordan Spieth, and John Rahm. I mean, those are the four key guys. You lose one of them, that's a big deal. And then it also, if you have this next tier of players, whether it's a Patrick Cantlay or whomever, if Rahm goes, then LIV just becomes a more attractive destination, and there's a domino effect. I mean, Dustin Johnson was so important to LIV because all the other top players were waiting to see who's going to be the first guy to take the plunge. And there's a lot of stuff in my book about how the Dustin courtship played out.
Cool.
And once Dustin went, everybody followed. And so, you know, now LIV needs a second wave of signings in this new convoluted sort of landscape of professional golf. If Rahm signs, I think that opens the door for a lot of other guys to follow. So it would be really impactful if he goes.
So is the PGA Tour broke because of the money that the public investment fund has? They can, you know, endless, bottomless pockets, and the PGA Tour doesn't have bottomless pockets.
Not broke, but the business model was under tremendous strain. I mean, the sponsors were pushing back. The tour's entire model is just to go to these corporate sponsors and squeeze another few million dollars out of them every year. And they were now they were asking for significantly more, and the sponsors were rebelling. And, you know, Monahan has already promised, you know, these fabulous riches to the players, and that plus the legal fees of battling all these court cases, the tour is under tremendous financial strain, and that's what brought them to the table. I mean, the tour is going to, the irony is, no matter what happens, the tour is going to be in a better financial position than it's ever been, because they're going to get billions of dollars in investment, whether that comes from the Saudis or that comes from Wall Street or it comes from Silicon Valley. I mean, they're talking to a lot of different entities now. That's what's bogged down these negotiations. But the tour is going to be on firmer financial footing at the end of this. But it's just a question of who's going to supply the money, how it's all going to play out, and what the blowback is going to be.
It's fascinating, all the different characters. And I'm, you know, of course, reading from what, this is Alan Shipnuck, executive editor and partner and content creator, Fire Pit Collective, and 25 years with Sports Illustrated, you know, 9 books, including Phil and now Live and Let Die. You introduce us to Jimmy Dunn. I mean, we've heard the name. Becomes a board of director in this wartime deal, quote unquote. And I didn't, you know, here the guy's the first man to become a member of all 4 leading private golf clubs in the United States: Augusta National, Cypress Point, Seminole, and Pine Valley. Wow, you know, he's got some clout. Has he helped?
Well, that's an interesting word. I mean, he was brought in to get a deal done, and a deal's gotten done. So, okay. In that regard, it's been a success. Now, the way it was handled, the secrecy, the hurt feelings, you know, Rory, the yes. betrayal, you know, Rory McIlroy resigning in protest from the board, like, Jimmy Dunn got the deal done. And that was his mandate. So you have to credit him for that. But it obviously has come at tremendous cost to the trust between the tour players and the leadership. And, you know, there's a new petition floating around the last few days of players trying to low-key unionize and push back against some of these things. And so I guess he helped, but his, you know, the way it was handled is certainly created some intense repercussions.
This is all in the book, you guys. This is going to be, again, where can we get it?
Well, ideally at, you know, a little local independent bookstore, help them keep the lights on. But of right. course, you know, it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and anywhere people like to buy books. And I read the audio version, if people are into that. That's always a fun challenge. And you know, as just a consumer, I think whenever the author reads the audiobook, it's a lot more fun because they're just more invested in the material. And so, of course, there's an electronic version if you like to read on your Kindle, whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. That's so cool. Now, Tiger Woods is everywhere. And some people are like, God, you're killing the, you know, the Australian event and the South African event with the Tiger sucking the air out of the room. Again, but it was an interesting paragraph about Woods has always preferred to exert soft power, as you put it. It is a significant development that he is now on the firing lines. And he seems to be very invested in not live. You know, what is your sense?
Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, Liv Golf has given Tiger Woods new life. It's given, you know, after his car crash, you know, it's pretty clear that best case for Tiger is to be a part-time golfer, and he needs other things. He needs a reason to get out of bed. He needs a purpose. Leading this charge against Liv gave Tiger that, and it brought him closer to a whole generation of players, you know, because Tiger's been injured so much. The young guys, the Will Zalatorises of the world, they barely know Tiger, but and they idolize him, they worship him, but they don't know him. And so for Woods to get so deeply involved and to rally the troops and to help craft this new direction of the tour, it's been a monumental undertaking for him that I think has really added some meaning to his life. it's certainly helped strengthen and create new relationships, and it's elevated his standing in the game. So LIV Golf has been very important for Tiger in an unexpected way.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I love the quote from Patrick Cantlay that's here. No offense to Peter Malnati or Webb Simpson, but we need Tiger in the room. We need his presence. He's not going to take any from Jay or Jimmy Dunn because he doesn't have to. What you're seeing with Cantlay, with Tiger, is the players trying to take back control of the tour before it's too late. You know, that I think I misquoted. Who's the quote from here?
Yeah, not Patrick Cantlay, but it was a member of the player advisory committee on the tour who didn't want his name out there because it's such a sensitive time. But
right.
You know, he really did speak freely and capture what this is all about. I mean, it's always been this question: like, do the players work for the commissioner, or does the commissioner work for the players?
Yes.
You know, Dean Beeman, Tim Fincham, they were definitely in charge. They were like the school principals. Monahan was a softer kind of version of that, and it seemed more collaborative. But in the end, you know, in the crafting of this framework agreement, he took all the power and he cut the deal without the players having any input. And now the players are trying to rebalance the power dynamics here and assert more control and have more more say in their own governance. And, you know, Tiger's been a big part of that. And so, yeah, it's, the question's still not totally resolved. I mean, who runs the tour? But the players are trying to make their voice heard in a louder, more impactful way than ever before.
Awesome. Because I always thought, you know, they were the PGA Tour, and they just hired the guy, the commissioner, to kind of take care of the business so they didn't have to. But I was very wrong, apparently. Alan Shipnuck, you are so cool. Alan right now is talking to us from his son's wrestling match. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. I can't say how much I appreciate you, and you're such a great dad. You're right there, exactly where you should be, and I got to let you go. I've taken a lot of your time. Love talking with you. Wish it could be more often. Anyway, thank you. Alan Shipnuck, executive editor, partner, and content creator, Fire Pit Collective, 25 years with Sports Illustrated, author of 9 books. One we're talking about, you got to get it because it's inside. It's inside, all right? Deep inside. Live and Let Die. Great title. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back and find out how you can capture those wrestling moments or the soccer moments or the baseball moments in ways that, you know, you just can't do with the phones that we have running around. So, yes, we've got a gentleman who's going to tell us about capturing those moments. Tony Serga, owner of Pro Camera Hawaii. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? What is
up? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Oh, you got to get your holiday shopping done early. Aloha Powers, tis the season sale. Yes, it's Aloha Powers, tis the season sale. You work hard to perfect whatever you're landscaping. Your tools do the work. Aloha Power has the best selection to make your job easier. So weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it, trim it. Chainsaws, mowers, blowers, trimmers, you want them? They're on sale today. We ship off island. New shipments arrive daily. And Aloha Power equipment is in Iwile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. And don't be afraid to go down Alakava. That's not a problem at all. I mean, I travel up and down trying to get into that gigantic box store. And there's plenty of places you can just make a left. You don't have to make a right, you see, unless you're coming down Makai bound. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Tell them Danielle sent you.
Where the best start their year. The Century returns to Maui at the Plantation Course at Kapalua for the PGA Tour's opening drive. Come witness an elite field of PGA Tour players like John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, and Xander Schauffele. As the race for the FedEx Cup begins, KK are admitted for free, and Hawaii residents can enjoy the discounted Kama'aina ticket presented by Mauna Loa. Witness the action at the Century January 4th through 7th. Buy tickets at thecentury.com.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or book with him at WaileaGolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
Tony Zerga, owner of Pro Camera Hawaii in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. That's such a cool shopping center. Pearl Kai Shopping Center, it's Pro Camera Hawaii. Tony, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I really appreciate, being able to talk story with you on the show.
Yeah, it's at that time of the year, but, you know, it's actually always that time of the year. We never know what season, you know. The kids today, they're playing soccer, they're playing golf, they're playing football, they're doing a little, you know, softball. It's like you never know what season is it, what sport are they playing, and where are we going to,
I'm a sports parent, so I totally feel you. I know exactly what you're talking about and all the madness and craziness of getting to the field. So, yeah, it's ongoing all year with sports right now.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you've seen photos of the club head coming in contact with the golf ball, it takes incredible timing to catch that. I can't imagine you being able to catch it with a phone camera. And you're trying to get that perfect shot of your kid or your friend or your wife or your husband and how they just pulled that off. I mean, that's so Pro Camera Hawaii, you've got all the equipment to make that possible, I think, don't you?
We do. And not only that, a lot of our team members that we, you know, work at the shop have also got experience in shooting sports as well, too. So that's one of the big benefits of, you know, coming down and talking story with us is that, you know, not only do we have the gear to be able to help you, but we also have the know-how of, you know, kind of walking you through some of the steps of what you might have to do as well to get there. The technology today is just absolutely so amazing, not only with phones, and phones are great, and I love phones. Phone cameras are terrific, and the technology has really spurred on new levels of photography, and it's really opened up photography to a whole new generation of people, which is amazing.
But your equipment will help you capture some of those seconds. It doesn't even milliseconds, whatever, you know, I can't imagine getting my phone out in time to take that shot. You know, I don't think it's possible, but with some of the equipment does that lens help the ones that when, you know, the high-speed shutters, the repeated photos, is that a good thing to get?
Yeah, so a lot of the cameras, even now on the entry level, they're what we call FPS or frames per second, are so quick. I mean, they're so fast, and they've gotten faster over the years that, you know, before a professional camera, you know, not even 10 years ago, was shooting 6 frames to 10 frames a second. Our entry-level cameras on some of the newer cameras are even doing up to 20 plus, and we're seeing on the high end shooting up to 60 plus frames a second now.
Wow.
Meaning that we can almost shoot a movie with stills. Although you are shooting a movie with stills, but at a much bigger format. So it's really wild what you can do now with these cameras, especially in relation to sports. And they're becoming easier to use. What's really nice is that a lot of the camera manufacturers are realizing that, you know, that they want to put simplicity into the cameras so that folks that are transitioning off from phones to cameras, it's a lot easier for them to be able to use the cameras right away.
That's nice, because they do look complicated from the old days, like 10 years ago.
they're really, in my industry and in the camera world and photography world, there's a little bit of an evolution. I wouldn't say little. It's a pretty good evolution of going from the bigger, models like DSLRs to what we call mirrorless cameras now. So these mirrorless cameras have allowed a lot of new technologies to be introduced into the systems. They're smaller, they're faster. They're able to put in these really large image sensors to create, capture all the detail, to capture all of the color, faster frames per second, information at the ready,
wow.
Meaning that even before a shot, we're seeing the images being produced, but you're getting to see the images without having to guess.
Right on.
Your set. Yeah.
I was also really impressed with your interaction. I was looking you up online, of course. I went to Google, put Pro Camera Hawaii in there, and it came up with not only all the location, Pearl Kai Shopping Center, but it also showed me an interaction. People were asking questions about, whether you do repairs, whether you have something in stock. And I was impressed with how you replied, do you do repairs?
So we are a hub for a lot of these. So we are authorized dealers for Canon, Fujifilm, Sony, Nikon, and a host of other companies. For some of these companies, we're actually a drop-off hub for them. Meaning that if you have something that is within the repair cycle, you can drop it off to us and we can send it out for you to get repaired. So that eliminates all the issues with packing, shipping, making sure that things are done correctly, getting it to the right place, and making sure that the process is as smooth as possible.
Oh, that's fantastic. And now the other question that one person was asking is, they said, do you have this in stock? And I think the answer was, we have a part of it, but we don't have the other part. But so if I were, looking for something, just get in touch with you. What is your phone number?
Oh, 808-485-1111.
Oh, God.
I know.
That's a wonderful number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so 808-485-1111. That's great. 485-1111. And so if you've got like a Shutterbug in your family, this would be the place to go, because you're going to be able to go in. You'll probably have to do a little hinting around, or maybe they've been dropping not so subtle hints. And I think Tony Zerga, owner of Pro Camera Hawaii in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center, is the guy to get in touch with for those people dropping those incredibly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Spouses love us. We make their job so easy.
Yes. Tony Zerga, owner of Pro Camera Hawaii in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center, 485-1111. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Aloha. We're coming back with Debbie Waitkus, co-founder of Marilyn Smith and the Founders Legacy Foundation. She's the founder and CEO of Golf for a Cause as well. We'll be back with her right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind,
OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now. Got a shutterbug in your life? ProCamera Hawaii has just what you need. ProCamera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. ProCamera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. ProCamera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm sorry if you've been waiting for this. I went on a tiger tangent at the start of the show. Volcano Golf Club has an 842, a 926, and an 1110. It was 55 degrees this morning, about 6:30. Maybe warming up just a bit. Makalei has an 836 and a 1008, and the Poi Dogs are going out. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Poipu, there's an 1130, 1148, and a 1220, and everybody's really happy that it stopped raining, although we're really glad it rained. Because, you know, back in the old days, there used to be months of this kind of rain. And then, you know, everything, aquifers were refilled, et cetera, et cetera. And the grass was so happy. Have you noticed the grass is really happy right now? I'll get off that. All right. And so we've also got a Kauai Lagoons 930, if you'd like to get there. Pearl Country Club has a 9 o'clock. Yeah, Pearl Country Club has a 9 o'clock. Somebody canceled. A 9 o'clock at Pearl. Turtle Bay has an 8:48, a 9:18, and a 10 o'clock. Raw Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:08 and a 10:18. And if you're like right next door, there's an 8:30. 45 minutes from now. Okay, we've also got Eva Beach Golf Course has a 9:50 and an 11:30. Bayview has an 8:46 and a 9:10. And at Wailea on the Gold Course, there's just a 150. And that's in part because the Emerald Course is hosting the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association mixed all ages. And on the Blue Course, the Maui Nisei All Veterans are out playing on the course. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right. We're going to come back with Debbie Waitkus right after this.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Debbie Waitkus, co-founder Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation, founder and CEO of Golf for Cause. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm thinking if I go for that 150 tee time, if I take off now, yes. I just might make it.
We'll hold it for you. We'll hold it for you.
Thank you.
Well, you really need to come over sometime, you know?
I do.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
So,
a couple of years since right after COVID when we came.
Right. It's been forever. See, and it's time. I know what am I talking about? I haven't traveled yet either. In an airplane. Debbie Waitkus, you've got an incredible, Golf It Forward online auction going on. And this is all to raise money for the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation, so you can give the scholarships out.
So let me help you, because that's a lot of words right there.
Isn't it?
So, yes. Golf It Forward is the place now. So you can just say Marilyn.
Oh, we're having some.
Founders Legacy Foundation anymore. You can just say Golf It Forward, and we raise money for the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Fund to send girls to college.
We're having a
we're making it really easy now. Golf it forward.
Okay.
Because that's really what it's about. You know, Marilyn was a founder who was really all about creating opportunities, especially for women. So this is, you know, for whether it's girls who are going to college. Remember, she was the first one to start a women's senior event because women needed a place to play when they graduated off the big tour type of thing. She was always very forward thinking. And leave it to a woman who was an entrepreneur before there was anything called entrepreneurialism, right?
Yeah, she was. It's just amazing what she did. Now, can you tell us about when she was going to college? And the question was whether or not she could get in. I'm not sure if it was on a scholarship, but I think the person.
Yeah, she.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
She played for University of Kansas, and she wanted to play an intercollegiate golf tournament. And the athletic director, Fogg Allen, actually told her that, "I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, that your daughter's not your son. Just don't have any money for her." And so, you know, that was really the impetus for her to start the scholarship fund, and which started in 1999. Because really, for young women, and look at the explosion of golf for girls right now. It's like the world is finally getting it that, what is it, like 85% of C-level women in business have played sports? Like, it's an important thing for our girls, whether it's daughters, nieces, grandchildren, for our communities. These girls are leaders, and they should not be shut down. Sandra Day O'Connor, who passed away yesterday, she graduates, and she can't get a job because they don't hire women. Now, really?
We've come a long way, baby.
Well, we're still coming. We're still coming, right?
Yes.
We're still coming.
Yes, it's really important. It's important for our young women. And by the way, if you're looking for a sport for your daughter, golf is such a cool sport because if she can say, "Oh, I play golf," that gives you entree into so many different facets of the world. It's just wonderful. You're automatically invited. Don't you find that?
Oh, yes. And you're included in the conversation because you don't actually have to play, but if you can at least talk about golf, right? Listen to Danielle's radio show and get caught up on what's going on in the world of golf and how Tiger still moves the dial. And just to be able to talk about it, you know, all these other sports, look at football. Do we play? No, we don't play, but we can sure talk about it. And
yes.
And then we're included in the conversation. Golf is just such a universal connector, especially in business and in social circles, that to not have that in your toolbox, man or woman, that's, you know, you're slighting yourself. You're not giving yourself that leg up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really powerful, but especially for women and young girls. But that strategy of, oh, I'll tell you. So yesterday I was speaking with a gentleman, our banker for Golf It Forward, who played in our pro-am last year. And his pro was Tammy Green, who ended up winning the Senior Open, which we do a two-day partner event after the pro-am. And she won that event. Well, John, who's the banker, he used to play professional football. He played for the Bills, the Giants, Arizona. He played, so athlete. He brought other athletes as part of his team. And he said, you know, Tammy was remarkable. She took 19 years off and then came back to golf and played competitively. But he said, in a pro-am, when you're playing with another competitive athlete, you just get it. The strategy, the lifestyle that they all lived, the connectivity was so powerful. He's like, where's the information? I need to play that. I want to get it on my calendar now for next year. So, and he's kept in touch with Tammy. So just the amazing things that playing a sport at a high level, even what it does for you.
Since 1999, $1 million has been awarded, over a million, to 239 young women to pursue their academic dreams and further their golf careers. That's wonderful. So what are we doing? What are we? We're raising money by an auction.
We have an auction right now.
Yes. Yes. We have to bid on and get. Here, look at this. Seven Canyons Golf Club, a foursome. This is private. Okay, a private Seven Canyons Golf Club in Sedona.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It does. I see the picture. And it's $700. The value is $1,600. So this is incredible. And there are two bids on this one. So get in there and go get them. And how do we get in there to go get them?
If you go to golfitforward.org, you can click on the button that says 2023 auction. Okay. So golfitforward.org. Like I told you, we're making it really easy now. But especially for those of you who need to buy holiday gifts for your friends and family on the mainland, this is wonderful. But there are also some things that are really cool, especially if you want to know anything about the history of the LPGA. You have three books that are on the auction that are just kind of like buy it now. And one is Marilyn Smith's book called Have Clubs Will Travel. She documents the history of the LPGA. This woman was meticulous in her notes and record keeping. Shirley Spork, who was another LPGA founder from Green to Tea, her conversations about her life and how she evolved in golf and the beginning of the LPGA teaching division, which was really something that she pushed, knowing she wasn't going to be a big money maker. How else would you make money? Maybe we could teach other women how to play golf. We could make money teaching. And then there's also Marilyn's picture book that's out there, which documents the photographs are just incredible. The history of the LPGA and her path. If you're a collector and you want to know anything about that, or you know someone who is that you like to gift that, perfect opportunity. And these young women that receive the scholarships, Danielle, I mean, they're incredible. They're already leaders, and this gives them the leg up. And over the last couple of years since COVID, we've gathered them. They named themselves Maryland's Pearls. They started a mentorship community. And so the money is, it means so much more than, it's more than the money, because now they're part of something that's bigger. And Women in the Golf Industry, which I know you're a member of, we have every other month an online session called Leagueypedia, where there's a subject matter expert who speaks about something. And these girls, who are the Pearls, now attend those sessions as well. So there's a partnership agreement through Women in the Golf Industry and Maryland's Pearls. It's just lovely, the opportunities that these girls now have of, you know, so many people in their court cheering and helping them on their way.
Yeah, I have to say that the Talking Stick Golf Club foursome is only $325. That's a $750 value. Get up on go. Oh, it's actually 32auctions.com. But go to, this is great, golfitforward.org, and then you're going to find the auction, okay? And then you're going to see everything that's available. It says 2023 GIF auction. That's the one you want. And Golf It Forward auction. And then you go down and browse the auction. Okay, then you browse the auction, then all these things. And I am so excited to see this. Yesterday, we were only at 46.3% of the goal, right? Look at today. It's just jumped up to, excuse me, I have to bring this down. 14,000.
Yeah, it's 75% of the goal.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, for all those people that you want to come to Hawaii, there's even a Hawaiian trip in there, too.
Oh, I really? See?
Who do you know that needs to come visit?
Yes. Who do you know who needs to come visit? You need to get in here and scroll through. Yeah. Do you have any, club head covers and stuff like that?
Yes, we do. The Marilyn Smith owl head covers are there.
Oh, with the pearls?
There is also, with the pearls on them. They're adorable, as you know, because you have them.
I do, yes.
And then also Jane Spicer from Daphne's Head Covers donated a menagerie that you can pick from of various head covers as well. And of course, Tiger Woods' Tiger is part of that, too.
Ooh, yay. Perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you for being back in the news and playing well, Tiger.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about pressure. Yeah, he puts enough on himself, and now all of us are going, when are you going to win?
Yeah.
Oh, Debbie Wakus, co-founder Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation. Golf It Forward. Okay, that's it. Golf It Forward. We're making it easy. It's at golfitforward.org. That's where you go. Then you'll see the auction. Click on that. 32auctions.com comes up. You know, that's a really great auction site. Everybody uses them. You can trust them. And then you can view all the items, scroll down, and there's, besides all the wonderful golf things you can give to a friend on the mainland, I mean, so many different people. The Wildfire Golf Club, that's a really nice one, too. There's a couple of those. Waikiki Beach Resort. Yeah, here it is. Five-night stay in Waikiki with a room with a view for up to four people. That hasn't been bid on yet. So there's something that you could give to somebody on the mainland so they can come and visit you. That's the one, right?
That's the one.
That's yep. the one.
And there might be one other. But don't wait, because the auction closes tonight.
Tonight.
So today's our day. Today's our day.
Okay. Gosh, why didn't you call me sooner?
I know. Shame on me. When we do it again in April and May, I will call you.
There you go.
For sure, because we'll have our pro-am stuff coming up. We're so excited. Renee Powell and Sandra Post are our tournament honorees this year. So,
wow.
And we've got a $100,000 purse for the senior event.
It's wow.
Just good things. Yeah, good things are happening.
That's fantastic.
Good things are happening.
You are, it's, you know, in your heart. Your heart is wonderful. Debbie Wakus. And we should talk Golf for Cause at some time that you put together. Thank you very much for being inside the clubhouse with me.
Okay, thanks for giving me a hard time to come.
Aloha.
You're the best. Mahalo.
And we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
And what we want you to do is check out Aloha Powers. Tis the season sale. That's right. It's the Tis the season sale at Aloha Power. You work hard. You want to perfect what you have. The landscaping. Maybe you want to put a fire break around your little area that needs to be taken care of. You just want to do it yourself. Your tools do the work. Because Aloha Power's got the best selection to make your job easier. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Yes, chainsaws and mowers and blowers and trimmers. You want them, and they're on sale today. So you can go out and do a little bit of that pre-holiday, you know, checking it out and buying. Get your shopping done early. Aloha Power Equipment is in Iwile, right next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. And tell them Danielle sent you.
Where the best start their year. The Century returns to Maui at the Plantation Course at Kapalua for the PGA Tour's opening drive. Come witness an elite field of PGA Tour players like John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, and Xander Schauffele. As the race for the FedEx Cup begins, KK are admitted for free, and Hawaii residents can enjoy the discounted Kama'aina ticket presented by Mauna Loa. Witness the action at the Century January 4th through 7th. Buy tickets at thecentury.com.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or book with him at WaileaGolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. We've got a partly sunny day in the forecast, isolated to scattered showers. The high expected to be between 80 and 85. Wait a minute. I was enjoying that 75 degrees for weather. The winds are variable, 5 to 15, becoming trades, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, it's going to be partly cloudy on Kauai, some scattered showers in the evening, and then isolated showers after midnight. Oahu and Maui, isolated showers tonight. Low will be 65 degrees to 70. Trade winds coming back, 5 to 15, and they may even be out of the north. We'll have to see how all things develop. And so, you know, Tiger Woods is playing. Like everybody knows, Tiger Woods has been playing. And it's competition. This, you know, it's serious. And he did better yesterday. Don't want to talk about today yet. Did better yesterday. Shot a 75 the first day and then a 70 the next day. He says was more committed on Friday rather than Thursday. Missed some putts. He stalled out a little at the turn. That's how he's describing, having a little trouble. It's physically and mentally fatigue, the stalling out. He says things aren't as sharp, you know. And, of course, I mean, he was also talking about how you can set up competition at home. You can put money on the table. You can, you know, whatever you want to bet on. It doesn't come close to the intense feeling that he gets when he's in actual competition in a golf tournament. So, his mindset is, he said, just looking over the ball, his mind is racing, you know. The emotions are different right now. He's trying to figure things out, you know. He's also discovered what he needs to do in the gym so that he's able to, what needs strengthening. It was a really, really great conversation with him. Now, today, I can't say that he's doing better because I haven't seen the leaderboard. I can tell you that Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth are about to go off. They're tied for the lead. So this is going to be very exciting to watch. Regardless, Tony Finau and Brian Harman, they're tied for third, and they're on the course already. Tony Finau is doing fabulous. 2 under, while Brian is even. And Colin Morikawa is 1 under for today, 7 under for the tournament. Justin Thomas, also with Colin Morikawa, they're tied for fifth. So this is some really close. Like, tied for seventh is Sepp Straka and Matt Fitzpatrick. Ninth is Jason Day, and tied for 10th is Lucas Glover and Cameron Young. Keegan Bradley's in it, Justin Rose, Max Homa, Ricky Fowler, Victor Hovland, and Tiger Woods, and Sam Burns, and Wyndham Clark, and Will Zalatoris. Had a really bad day yesterday, or the day before. He shot an 81 on the first day, came back with a 68. Boy, imagine shooting an 81. But he's just recovering from back surgery. So a lot going on in his world. All right, we're going to have Alex Myers joining us in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to go over the golf ball rollback, among many other things. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Got a shutterbug in your life? Pro Camera Hawaii has just what you need. Pro Camera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. Pro Camera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. Some of the tee times while we're waiting for Alex to give us a call back in. Volcano Golf Course, there is an 842, a 926, and 1110. And the Poi Dogs, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Everybody on the golf course. Makalei has an 836 and a 1008. I just love the names people give themselves, you know, when they're going out, like the Poi Dogs. It doesn't have to be an official name. You know, don't have to register anywhere. Just give your group a name and go out and have fun on the golf course. All right. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest Magazine. He writes one of my favorite Golf Digest columns, and now he's got it video. I mean, you've gone all out. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks for the warm introduction. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, it's a beautiful day. The rain stopped. We've had some really great rain because we've got a severe drought over here. And it was just fantastic to see the rain coming down. And, of course, I'm saying that now because it stopped, you see.
Yeah, exactly.
We always have to think about the positive parts, right? Okay.
Right.
So
right.
So is it really true that I can't ask you about the hole-in-one that you haven't had before?
I mean, you can, but, you know, I'm probably not going to be too happy about it. You know, it's funny, like, I think I wrote that in my bio.
Yes.
Almost as like a reverse jinx type thing 10 years ago, and it still hasn't helped me. And I've had different dreams about holes in one. It hasn't helped. I've had someone else I work with said they had a dream that I made a hole in one, and it didn't happen that year. And like, it's just one of those things. I came as close as I've ever come this year, Danielle. I was about 2 inches away.
Wow.
And it was at Wingfoot of all places, which I've only played a couple times. And it was the third hole, which is actually a par three that Billy Casper famously laid up on 4 days in a row. That's how hard it is, and he got up and down for par. And I hit a 5-wood, and there was like a back slope, and the caddy started going crazy. I couldn't even see it. My eyes aren't that good. And it rolled down the back slope, and it just missed the hole. We thought it might be in for a second, but it was, yeah. So one of these days, maybe that would have been crazy with a 5-wood, right? But like, I get a wedge in my hand, and I choke. I can't even come close. So, you know, I don't know how many years I've been playing, 30 years. I don't know. It just has not happened for me yet, Danielle. What about you? Do you have one?
No.
Okay. All right. You make me feel better then.
We're all in the same boat together, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah.
What do you think about, you know, talking about hole-in-ones and 5-wood and the golf ball rollback that's supposed to be announced on Monday?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, I mean. I'll tell you what, I think I would have had to hit 3-wood on that hole that I almost made the hole in with the 5-wood, right? I mean, that's what it sounds like. I'm a little perplexed by this, Danielle. I mean, look, I will admit to this, a few years ago, when I heard about all this, I thought, yeah, this sounds like a great idea, especially for the pros, because they do hit it so far. And some of the holes, you know, a 450-yard par 4 now isn't even long for these guys. And if it's a dog leg, they'll just go over the trees and, you know, not play. So I understand there's this thinking that the best players in the world aren't playing the holes the way they were intended to be played. Okay, fine. You want to make that argument? You want to switch it for the pros or at certain courses? I could maybe be persuaded into that. But you're going to tell the recreational golfer, which, again, you know, I consider myself that, even though I probably did play almost 40 times this year, but whatever. I'm a weekend golfer. You're going to tell me that I have to hit it shorter? Like, to me, that just makes no sense. I don't hit the ball that far. 99.9% of golfers don't hit the ball that far. So it's just a bizarre, like, I just don't think that you would tell someone you have to use a cell phone from 2000, you know, or a computer from 2000. That's what they're basically saying. Like, why, we have this great technology. Why are we not taking advantage of it? So it just seems a little bizarre that it would spread down to the lower level golfer, especially because the upper level golfer is going to find a way to get around this, either by different times, levels of training or different clubs or whatever. And the lower golfer is just not going to hit it as far. So to me, I just don't get it.
No, I understand. I understand completely about the professional. The problem with length is it takes up real estate. And real estate is expensive, A.
Right.
And B, it's hard to maintain. That's expensive. You know, all of the money that then goes into these giant golf courses, it becomes, like, ridiculous.
Look, I agree with all that, of course. I just think that the golf courses that are built now, I don't think they're going to, like, change to become shorter. I mean, you could always move up a set of tees if you want.
Yes.
When I go and play a course, first around here, I mean, you know, you do play the backs here because they're not stretched out to 7,000 yards. These are courses that aren't going to buy extra land. You know, there aren't that many courses that have bought extra land like Augusta National does. They're like, look, I get it. If you're hosting a major tournament, then it's fine. But 99.5% of courses aren't ever going to host any sort of PGA Tour event or even a Corn Ferry or a DP World Tour or an LPGA event. So, like, they don't need to be this argument that, it's not fair to the courses that have to keep expanding. No one's telling these courses to keep expanding. Just don't. Like, you know, and then what about the golfer then? I've had a lot of people message me. What about the senior golfer who now, people are saying, you just move up a tee. Okay, fine. Maybe I would move up a tee. And honestly, I don't mind moving up a tee. It's a lot more fun. But what about the senior golfer? What do they move up to? They have to move up to the forward tees? What about the woman golfer who's playing the forward tees? Where are they going to move to? The kids' tees? I mean, it's just, now you're going to have to create more forward tee boxes. So aren't you then putting in more maintenance that way? To me, that argument just doesn't really hold water, which, you know, for a pun there. I mean, I don't get it.
It's all bizarre.
I think we're overreacting to a select few of elite golfers and a select few of tournament courses that, you know, where they shoot 30 under par now. It's not like that for the everyday golfer at the everyday course.
Yeah. And, you know, the everyday golfer at the everyday course is out buying the golf balls. Do the professionals buy their own equipment?
No. Right. Exactly. Well, that's the thing, Danielle. So that was kind of lost. And I called it one of the dumbest decisions in the history of mankind. I could be wrong down the line. I'll admit if it doesn't end up being as big a deal as I think. But to me, it just doesn't seem like it was a problem that they had to do anything about. And my point was going to be that I did miss originally that there is this grace period, which is just bizarrely long, 2030 for the recreational golfer and 2028 for the pros. So
I have been, you know, I do kind of have a little stockpile in the basement of balls, and I was kind of worried, what, am I not going to be able to use these balls? And now I'm like, well, I have until 2030 to use them. So I guess I got to break into the stockpile, Danielle. And you know what? Honestly, if I have some of those balls past 2:30, and I'm not playing in a super serious tournament, I'm still going to play those balls. I mean, I don't think everybody switched out their grooves when they made that change
right
a few years ago. So, you know, let us just play. Let us have fun. You know, I just think it's getting too serious with you know, the governing bodies trying to tell us what to do with the equipment, the regular golfer, that is.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy.
I completely agree. Now, can they explain why there's a grace period for that long?
Well, you know, I think obviously there are a lot of people like myself who are upset about this. So, you know, I think even with the anchoring ban and everything else, there was always, in the grooves, there was always a little grace period because, you know, you want people to have a chance to get used to it. You know, for the average golfer, they're going to eventually have to buy some of these balls. In this case, the companies are now going to have to manufacture a different type of ball. I mean, from my understanding, Danielle, basically every ball that's on the shelf now would fail this new test because instead of, you know, 120-mile-an-hour robot that's swinging and it has to go only 317 yards, now that robot's going to be swinging 127 miles per hour. So these golf balls are all going too far. So all the golf balls that are in circulation now, just think about that, on the shelves or in your bag or in your closet like me in the basement, those balls all have to come out of circulation and be replaced. That is going to take some time. So, again, I'm surprised that it's a seven-year grace period or whatever, 6 years, I guess, because we're almost 2024. But there needed to be some sort of grace period.
Yeah, I was thinking they start getting worried about getting, you know, hogtied. They can say, oh, never mind, the backlash has been too intense. We're going to change our minds. And that way the manufacturers, but it also gives the manufacturers a chance to sell all their stock. So they don't and so they don't have to get angry. Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see. I've already seen people say, "Oh, I'm loading up." You know, I've seen like people putting in orders for like thousands of dollars of golf balls.
Oh my goodness!
It's going to be interesting to see if people actually do that and like how long. It was kind of the same thing with the anchor band, right? Because you know, it was like a person like Webb Simpson when he had to change. It was like, well, do I just use it as long as I can, or do I start transferring over early? I think there are going to be a lot of golfers who are just going to use the old golf ball as long as possible and even have stockpile to where once it does go in effect, they're still just going to keep using that ball. But, you know, the pros, obviously, Danielle, for their livelihood, they're going to have to really start to practice with the new ball to get used to it. You know, Rory McIlroy and Tiger, actually, they're two of the only guys who have really been kind of in favor of this. And Rory even said that he would use a shorter ball in regular events just to get used to it, even if it hurt his performance. Now, I don't know if I quite believe that, but, you know, there will be people taking different strategies to this. But at least, yes, we do have a few years to kind of get this all sorted. Who knows if there's such a big backlash, maybe they'll reverse course again. But, you know, this has been a long time coming. I think we all kind of thought that something would happen on the pro level, but not this widespread rule. And look, a lot of people don't want the bifurcation. They want everybody to play the same golf ball.
Right. Yeah.
Again, a flawed argument because the pros play souped-up equipment. We all know it, perfectly tailored to them, you know, including their golf balls. So that's already kind of a flawed argument in my estimation.
Yeah. There was a comment, and I'm reading what I read online. The PGA Tour has already expressed opposition to the rolled-back ball, right? There could hardly be anything more off-brand for LIV than a rolled-back ball.
And I saw someone else say, too, like, well, you know, what's going to happen to, like, you're basically killing long drive competitions, too. I mean, well, I don't know. Those people probably will just use the rocks that they use anyway. LIV, it's, you know, golf but louder and all this. Are they really going to play by the rules? And by the way, it's not like we're talking about the police or the FBI here. I mean, it's the USGA. What are they going to do? Come to your house and arrest you? Use the wrong ball? What are they going to do? Go to live tournaments and lock up the players that are using the different balls? I mean, if these tournaments want to keep using it, I honestly don't know what. I know they've always gone along with what the USGA says, but there's no reason that they have to abide by this rule. And then it becomes, well, if the pros aren't doing it, then why the heck would, you know, right. Joe Schmo, who's hitting it 230 off the tee, if Rory hitting 330, why does he have to hit it shorter? It makes no sense. So, yeah, there's a lot to unfold here. We'll have to see.
Yes, and here's one comment, too. You probably saw this. If this happens, the validity of the USGA and the RNA falls apart, and they either adapt or perish. adapt to us? The U.S. and British Open aren't so big that they'll make the whole golf world succumb to their whims. It's, it's not seeing the bigger picture, but I understand exactly where they're coming from. Boy, okay, so there we are on the golf rollback. Well, on LIV, do you think John Rahm's really going to go?
Oh, man, it's crazy, right? I mean, look, there have been rumors around John Rahm for different times throughout these past couple of years. He has always come out and shot those rumors down. The fact that he has not done that this time, and this has been out there for a week or so, it kind of leads me to think that's happening. What's so interesting, though, Danielle, about the whole thing, obviously, is the fact that this deal between the tour and the Saudi PIF fund, which obviously bankrolls LIV, is kind of in the works. And so you're like, well, why would they pay $600 million for a player who in theory would be under their umbrella if this deal went through? So part of me thinks that maybe it is just a way to speed up the negotiations and, between the two bodies there. But it's crazy because, John Rahm hasn't just shot this down. He has said, I'm taking an oath of loyalty to the tour, and I hate the way LIV plays. To go back, and I know it's a lot of money, but his people must be like, man, you're going to look kind of silly with some of these comments. And now, look, I will preface it by saying he made most of those comments before this surprise announcement that the tour was going to work with the Saudi PIF fund, right? That shocked everybody, and it tipped off a lot of players. So I get that maybe he could have changed his tune because of that. But still, he has a lot of quotes out there that will look kind of foolish if he does end up going to LIV.
And go to LIV when, maybe there's an agreement, and then, he goes, okay, I'm going to LIV, but then, okay, wait, I want to go back.
Right, exactly. Like, maybe he's thinking, maybe he's trying to play it both ways.
Right.
He thinks that if he takes the deal, he'll end up just playing the PGA Tour schedule anyway, but then he'll get to pocket the money and have the ownership stake. I mean, look, he's a smart guy. I mean, like, he could be doing that. And I will say, if you went to the tour, 2 years ago or whatever, when it first started, like when Dustin Johnson first did it, the backlash is definitely not going to be as big for a John Rahm as it was for those initial guys, because now the PGA Tour has flat out come out and said, we want to work a deal with these guys. Okay, well, so then now why is it such an awful thing? You've been saying for 2 years it's the worst thing in the world if you leave the tour, but now you're going to go and work with these guys? So the backlash isn't, you're not going to take that PR hit that you were worried about initially. That definitely helps. There's so much up in the air with that agreement that it's hard to see why exactly this would happen right now.
Yeah. Well, it's all these things are unfolding. Has the tour ever been this interesting?
Right. I mean, on one hand, no. On the other hand, though, you've got a lot of people who are just kind of sick of hearing about all this stuff. And it just gets confusing. That's why I think a week like this, take out the, I shouldn't say a week like this, because you got the John Rahm stuff, you got the rollback stuff, there's crazy stuff going on. But I was going to say, entering this week, all the focus was on Tiger Woods. Right? And it's like, that's the one thing that we could all kind of bond behind. Yes. And like, what tournament is it? Doesn't even matter. Tiger Woods is playing
and we can all just enjoy watching them. But now it's like, oh, is Rom going to live? What about the rollback? This and that. I mean, it is so messy right now. And this is supposed to be the quiet time of year, Danielle. So it's wild times indeed.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we've got like, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes left in the show. Okay. So I do want to go back to your column that you do for Golf Digest and golfdigest.com. And I was looking at something. Max Homa and Tiger Woods were in a challenge. Right. And he, can you explain that kind of quickly? And where did that come from? Was this like something that argument that they had that they were going to solve? I don't understand.
Yeah, they did these videos. I forgot what it was promoting, and they did a contest. There was another one where I think they had to name different players from the Los Angeles Dodgers because they're both fans. Okay. And Tiger, it's one of those things that's so obvious, but like you just kind of blank. Tiger blanked and lost on that one. But this one, it was like to start naming wins. And instead of naming a win where Tiger won, Max Homa just said, well, I know he didn't win Riviera, which just like got them both laughing because that's one of the, you know, it's like the only place that Tiger's played a significant amount of times. He's never won. And Max Homa has actually won there. So it's like the one chance you have to like, you know, one up the GOAT, basically, and he took it in his face. So it was pretty funny. I think those guys have a great relationship. You know, before Tiger even made this announcement, he had one of his normal charity events, and Max Homa was one of the couple guys on hand there. So clearly he's in that kind of small, trusted friend zone that Tiger has. Obviously, Rory is the business partner. Justin Thomas is kind of the adopted son, little brother. And now Max Homa is kind of one of those other guys who Tiger really likes. Fred Couples, kind of the older, you know, advisor role. But yeah, they have a good relationship because you couldn't get away with that if you didn't have a good relationship with Tiger.
Yeah, it's like, it was great at the very end. He goes, oh, I'm blank. You know, he had to name all the places where Tiger won.
Tiger's won.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Which is a lot of places.
A lot of places.
A lot of places. Yeah.
And at the end, he just goes, oh, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he's
it reminds me, it reminds me of that time when Tiger and Phil Mickelson at the Tour Championship, I don't know, around 2001, 2000, and they said, hey, here's Phil Mickelson, the winner of the blah, 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 and the blah, blah. And then they go, here's Tiger Woods, the winner of the blah, 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 blah. And Phil Mickelson goes, all right, we get it. And, comes off. And they all start laughing. So that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, that's the Phil Mickelson I miss.
I know. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well,
you know, we'll never know what happens. If they come together with this agreement and everything else and they're working together, maybe we'll see more Phil. Maybe he'll be kind of welcome back. We'll have to see how history winds up judging him. It's gonna take a few years.
Yeah. And I'm gonna thank the people who make the show possible. Alex Meyer, senior writer for Golf Digest. It's been way too long since we got together to laugh. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was
Thank
great.
You. Thanks. Aloha, Danielle. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. And happy holidays. All right. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time, okay? I want to thank the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. Get your game on with Claude. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, hotels since 1939. So brand yours with the Honolulu Sign Company. Aloha Power Equipment. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. And there's the fabulous Tis the Season sale. And that's going on today at Aloha Power Equipment. Pro Camera Hawaii, now in the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture your memories with the best photo equipment possible. And you can find us all the time at RadioGolfClub.com. radiogolfclub.com. So we're on the radio, and then there's the live stream, so you can listen via whatever device you'd like to listen. But you can also listen to the podcast, and all of them are there. So if you want to focus in on something, you got it. Aloha. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.